Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Dear Lord, I pray that as we come to you this morning for this time of worship, that you will bless each person here as we seek to worship and honor and to praise you. Lord, I also ask that you bless this time of preparation and study that we have begun this semester. Lord, I pray that you will give us strength and encouragement and the power of your Spirit that we need to accomplish the task that you've set before us. Lord, many people have concerns, and there are those in our student body that are ill. And Lord, we pray that you will work in a powerful way in the lives of those people. Lord, I just pray that you will be with those that lead this worship service this morning. Place your hand upon them, and guide them, and direct each one of us as we serve you. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. That's hymn number 4 if you need the hymn book. Let's stand together and sing.
Before we pray, I've been asked to remind everyone of a time of refreshing, the conference that is happening here on campus today and tomorrow. If you were in the Ledford Multipurpose Room this morning at 6:30, you know that we received a real blessing. I have to admit I hesitated when the alarm clock went off this morning, but I'm so glad I went. I guarantee you, if you go tomorrow morning, you will be glad. And then tonight at 7:30 p.m. here in Binkley Chapel, we have a worship service. Tomorrow, a full slate of activities, 6:30 a.m. again in Ledford Multipurpose Room. Then at 10 a.m., a worship service here. Two sessions tomorrow afternoon, one from 3 to 4, the other from 4 to 5. And tomorrow night, again, another worship service here at 7:30. So let's lift the conference up to the Lord in prayer and also ask His blessings upon this service this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this day, we bow our hearts before You. We lay our very lives before You. And God, we pray that You will grant us the repentance that always precedes the times of refreshing that You talk about in Acts 3:19. We pray that You will change our minds about our sins. And we pray that as You change our thoughts, that You will bring them into harmony with what Your Word says about them. Heavenly Father, we pray that this change in mind will also be accompanied by a change in the way that we live, that You might make us a people that is determined not to draw attention to ourselves, but to be persons who seek only to point to the risen Christ. We pray for our brother David as he comes in a few moments to seek to do just that, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in His strong, holy name that we pray. Amen.
Let us give attention now to the reading of God's Word. Our scripture passage today comes from Jeremiah. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 11. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand. O house of Israel, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it that disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good that I intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions.
Sing with me, please. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the of our mouths, the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to You. Amen.
As a boy growing up in New England, some of my fondest memories while I was growing up there were to spend many a summer at a summer camp in New Hampshire. Even more importantly, while I was at that summer camp, I had the pleasure and the great interest in being in a pottery class. I enjoyed the making of the pottery. Every time I put that piece of clay on the wheel, I saw a simple piece of clay turn out to be something beautiful. Every time I put my hands to it, I brought out a nice vase or a nice bowl. And yet, there were times when I made a mistake, and I was able to remake that piece of clay by just pushing it back down and remaking it. So is it with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Father. We are able to be remade in the holy hands of God. As Andy said this morning, our scripture reference is from Jeremiah 18, 1 through 11. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was God's man for that time and that place. The name Jeremiah simply means in the Hebrew form, may Yahweh be lifted up, throw, or be found. And through the words of Jeremiah, God was found by the people of that time. There's more written about the personal experiences of the prophet Jeremiah than any other prophet. He was God's prophet. He was God's spokesperson for that time and that place. Jeremiah did not back down from anyone or anything at any time. It was a tough world, and yet he was God's spokesperson for that time. He proclaimed God's judgment and wrath upon Jerusalem and Jerusalem. Yet he was also a prophet of hope and salvation as well. Jeremiah was just like you and me. On one side of his mouth, he said a great word for God. And on the other side of his mouth, he argued with God. How many times have we done the exact same thing? The whole book of Jeremiah is full of judgment. And yet, as we see, it is also a book of hope as well. As we look in verses 1 and 2, I'd like us to see, how did he react when God called him? God spoke to Jeremiah about going to the potter's house to await further instructions. Was it coincidence or divine appointment that Jeremiah was there at that time, at that place? How many times has that happened to us when we've been in a situation, when we look back and say, I know I was there for a reason? God spoke to Jeremiah about going to the potter's house to await further instructions. And I must say, there are no coincidences with God. It's just God being anonymous. God wanted Jeremiah there so that he could speak to him in a specific way at a specific time. Point one I'd like us to remember this morning is that we are to be obedient and we are to be faithful to the words and the instruction that God gives us to follow. I am reminded of that great biblical truth found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12 that calls us to be of sober spirit and minding our own business, be diligent in our work habits so that we will win the respect of others, especially those who are not of the Christian faith. Let us look now at 1 Samuel 13, 9, 13 and 14 as we read here. Saul is speaking to the people there after Samuel had left him. And so he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offerings. Saul went ahead of God's instructions through Samuel. Samuel had specifically told Saul to wait, and yet he did not wait. In verse 9, we see that Saul states, bring me the burnt offering. What did he do? He took matters into his own hands. And as a result, God ultimately took the nation of Israel away from Saul and gave it to David, a man after his own heart. Let us look back at Jeremiah 18, verse 3. As Jeremiah approaches the potter's house, he saw the potter making something special on the wheel. The potter's shop was a familiar sight in the ancient world. His work was always in demand. In those days, there were no throwaway dishes. There were no throwaway cups. Everything had to be handmade. You talk about job security, the potter had it. While Jeremiah viewed the potter, God spoke to Jeremiah. Isn't it interesting that God takes the most amazing places to speak to us in the most special ways? In verse 4, we see that the potter is not happy with the outcome. We see the word marred. In the Hebrew word, is ruined. He felt that that piece of clay was ruined. Yet with a simple flick of the wrist, the lump was ready to be remade with the potter's hand. The experienced potters make few mistakes. The divine potter makes absolutely no mistakes. The divine potter can always turn a piece of clay into something beautiful. In verse 6, we see that God spoke in a parable. Someone once told me that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is the best known of all of Jeremiah's teachings. Point 2 I'd like us to remember this morning when we look at verse 6 is that God wants to remold, he wants to remake us, just like the potter wanted to remake that piece of clay. Yet we must want it too. God says clearly in his word that we as a nation, that we as a people must repent of our evil. We must repent of our sin. And he will repent of the impending demise that he has planned for us. Make no mistake about it. God is planning a demise for each and every one of us if we do not repent from our sin. As we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14, very simply, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." And also in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, what am I saying here? I'm saying very simply that if we, then he. If we confess, he will save us. If we do not confess, he will not save us. These passages are full of that very thought. Once again, I'm reminded of David and Saul. God forgave David, but he never forgave Saul. Why is that? Because Saul never really truly repented of his sin, and ultimately he committed suicide. Recently, I had the opportunity to watch on television a commentary show, McLaughlin, on the cable station. And that very night, they had the commissioner of baseball and the commissioner of basketball, Faye Vinson and David Stern, respectively, on the dais. And John McLaughlin asked Commissioner Vinson a very, very pointed question. He said, "Pertaining to the Hall of Fame, what about Pete Rose?" Now, understand what I'm saying. I am a diehard baseball fan for anybody that knows me. And I was very happy in what he said, but also very sad, because he said, in reference to Pete Rose, not at this time will he get into the Hall of Fame. Why? John McLaughlin asked him. Because he is an example. He is an example to the people of this nation. And if we let him in only for his baseball statistics, that's fine. But baseball is more than a game. It is a life. Each and every one of us are an example that we are to be set for other people. And I agree, for I have never, at least at this point, seen Pete Rose in any way, shape, or form show any remorse for what he has done. He basically has said that he has paid his debt to society and that he wants to get on with his life to go to Florida and open a restaurant. That's fine. If he had said, "Geez, I'm sorry, I know I did wrong," I would feel a lot differently. But I do not feel at this time that the man belongs in the Hall of Fame. And to me, he is like what my picture of a modern-day Saul would be like. Saul never repented from his sin. Point 3 I'd like us to remember this morning is that there's a theme that weaves through this whole passage, and that is the theme of hope. There's always room to change. There's always room to come home. There's always room to come back to be in the holy hands of God. Once again, we look at 1 Samuel 13:9, where Saul went ahead of Samuel's instructions, and he tried to do his own thing. Yet, let us not sit so piously in our pews and throw arrows at Saul. How many times do I do exactly what Saul did? As a result, God took the nation of Israel away from Saul and gave it to David, a man after his own heart. God did this simply and purely because of Saul's blatant disobedience. In verse 11, we see that God is preparing a calamity, and yet he is up to the last moment asking, he is pleading, he is begging each and every one of us to turn from our evil ways, to repent, to come back home, to be remade in the holy hands of God. Point four I'd like us to remember is that God wants us to model him in the world we serve so that he may bless us, so that we may serve him more fully in the world that he has set before us. How many of us who are parents in the audience this morning want to scold our children? I dare say not many. Neither does God. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us that great blessing that we deserve. So many people have messed up their lives. There's a man who's addicted to alcohol and as a result has lost his job, his wife has left him, his children have disowned him, or the disbarred lawyer who's working in a menial job who feels he can never make a difference for the world again, or the single mother who has done her time in prison and as a result has felt the society's sting. Each and every one of them have repented and received God's forgiveness, yet they feel that they have a hopeless view of life. They feel responsible for their circumstances, and they deserve a good share of the misery that they feel that they'll have the rest of their lives. And it states very, very clearly in Jeremiah 18 that that is not how God wants to deal with the people. We see again in verse 4 that the potter did not throw away the marred or the ruined clay. Neither will God. He remade the vessel into his own liking. That, according to Jeremiah, is exactly how God wants to deal with you. That's exactly how he wants to deal with me. Even though we have sinned and are marred, he will not throw us away. He wants to make something beautiful of our lives. If you've messed up your life, don't despair. Repent and submit. He can still make something beautiful of your life. Begin again in the potter's hands. By way of closing this morning, I'd like to go back over what we've talked about and say, first of all, that we need to be obedient and we need to be faithful to the instruction that God has given us to follow. We need not take matters into our own hands as Saul has done, but we need to submit to God in our inadequacy. Secondly, that God wants to remake you. He wants to remake me, but we must want it too. We must repent, and then he will repent of the calamity that he has planned for each and every one of us. This is a passage of warning. It's a passage of impending judgment, but also it's a passage of hope as well. There's always room to change. There's always room to come around. There's always room to come back home to be remade in the holy hands of God. God wants us to model him in the world that we serve so that he can bless us more fully. In way of closing, I'd like to read a poem that I once heard that I think is extremely apropos to this morning's message. And it very simply states that if you've rebelled and turned away from what you know is true, submit to God, he will forgive. He still has work for you. This morning, as a number of mornings that I have been preparing this message, I have felt a very strong message from the Lord saying to me that there are people in this audience, there will be people in this audience that need to make things right with me. And I am asking if anyone in this room this morning has a need that they want to bring before the Lord, whether it's for themselves or someone that they know, I am opening up the altar of this chapel to each and every one of you. And whether you stay 5 seconds or 5 minutes, it makes no difference. We will wait for you. The altar of the chapel is open for you.
Would you stand, please, for the benediction? Dear Heavenly Father, we just stand, Lord, with awe of who you are and for what you mean in our lives. We praise you. We worship you, Father. You are so majestic. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful message that you have brought to us today through your servant David. And Lord, I don't know what's on the hearts of each person in this building today, but Father, I thank you for the renewed spirits. I thank you for each life that is represented here today, Lord. Father, I just pray that you would help each of us to have a consuming passion and love and desire to serve you. For you are the potter, and we are the clay. And God, I just ask that you would mold us and make us who you want us to be. And when we mess up, Lord, we can always rely on you, Father, and we know that you will refine us to the best of our abilities. God, as we leave here today, I just ask that you will use us, not just once a week, but every day of our lives, Father. We are your servants, and we are the children of an almighty King. Father, we love you, and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.